KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy, 7 degrees here in Atlantic. We look for mostly sunny skies today with a high of 18. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reports the old grandchild in trouble scam is making its way around the area again. Brothers said he was recently made aware of an elderly Clarinda couple who was called by someone who said the couple's grandson had been involved in a serious accident and that $2,400 needed to be wired immediately to the grandson. The grandson, as it turns out, had not been in an accident, and the money was ultimately sent to the country of Chile. The scam sometimes involves a person who claims to be or is representing a grandchild who is supposedly in jail and needs to be bonded out. The grandchild, in most of those cases, is in another country like Canada or Mexico, according to the caller. Well, the bottom line is the grandparents need to be aware of that it is, they need to verify the information with another family member. Or in the case of a supposedly arrested grandchild, call the law enforcement agency or your local law enforcement agency to have them verify the claim. And never give personal banking or credit card information to someone claiming to be or representing a relative, especially if you're not certain of the circumstances being real or not. News time is 8:01.
Robinson True Value in Atlantic understands that every penny counts during the holiday season, so they have many Christmas specials that you don't want to miss. A 4-quart slow cooker at $16.97, a 2-piece saute pan combo with non-stick ceramic cooking surface for only $19.99, 4-cup Mr. Coffee coffee maker $10.99, 12-volt tire inflator with gauge $7.99, 18-inch cantilever organizer only $14.99, and too many more to mention. So stop down today and take advantage of these specials why supplies last at Robinson True Value in beautiful downtown Atlantic.
The Iowa Finance Authority Board of Directors on Wednesday approved a total of more than $7.5 million in grants to 26 local housing trust funds to support local affordable housing initiatives, which will assist more than 2,000 Iowa families. The funding is provided from the State Housing Trust Fund's Local Housing Trust Fund program. The grant funds will be used for initiatives such as preserving aging house stock, subsidizing local down payment assistance program, providing low-interest loans or grants to assist Iowans in home rehabilitation, financing construction of new single-family housing for low-income Iowans, and supporting transitional housing and homeless assistance programs. In the Western Iowa area, here are some of the grant recipients, the grant amount, and what funds they will be used for. The Council Bluffs Housing Trust Fund, Incorporated, received just over $198,900 for the promotion of the development and preservation of affordable single-family and multifamily housing units through the financing of rehabilitation, new construction, or direct assistance activities. The trust fund will also promote home buyer and tenant education. The Council of Governments, or COG Housing Incorporated, which serves Audubon, Carroll, Crawford, Greene, Guthrie, and Sac counties, received a little more than $305,670 from the Iowa Finance Authority to assist 34 low-income households through a combination of grants and low-interest loans. The Southern Iowa COG Housing Trust Fund, that's Council of Governments, which serves Adair, Adams, Clark, Decatur, Madison, Ringgold, Taylor, and Union counties, received a little more than $295,950. That grant money will focus efforts on 7 affordable housing activities to assist an estimated 35 households. And the Southwest Iowa Housing Trust Fund, Incorporated, which serves Cass, Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Montgomery, Page, Pottawatomie, except the city of Council Bluffs, and Shelby counties, received $387,000 and just a little more than that to assist an estimated 60 households by providing down payment assistance and owner-occupied and rental rehabilitation assistance to low-income households. The City of Harlan will be conducting a housing study with SWPCO, the Southwest Iowa Planning Council, in a regular council meeting held on Tuesday. SWPCO Representative Courtney Harder gave a presentation on the options for the housing study and explained how the overall base study would work.
The proposal is pretty much specific to outlining how your community would be able to support the new development for rental units and at what rate. We would also do some census-based information for you and looking at the assessor's side as to what kind of housing needs that you have in your community. And then we would also potentially outline any other needs that we may see as well. Are you meeting the needs of your low to moderate income? Do you have something in between for families? Do you have a lot of higher end homes? What what kind of range you have available.
Along with a targeted study, Harder says SWPCO will give the Harlan City Council another more in-depth option for the housing study.
We're going to, instead of just looking at the assessor's side and the census to develop your housing needs, we're also going to go and come into your community and do a drive-by survey of every house. And we have a couple people who get in a car, they drive around, they hit every single home, and they do a excellent, good, fair, poor rating on every single house so that you have an idea of where your areas of town that need the most assistance are. We're also going to have 4 community input meetings in addition to that so that you have a little bit more input, not just from your housing board, but you have some from your actual community members. And then we're going to have a conditions map and all that stuff for you to keep, and it'll be included in your plan.
The final option would be to include everything in a targeted study and broad assessment along with a comprehensive housing plan.
Option B is the comprehensive study, that the same kind of thing that we did for the City of Atlantic. This is going to be the all-encompassing, everything from above. It's going to have a formal public hearing process as well as a formal adoption process, and so that you do that through your planning and your zoning committees. And it will cover all the wide range of housing issues, including code enforcement, permitting, housing density, design standards, and anything else that we can come up with.
After much discussion, the Harlan City Council approved a motion to accept the proposal for SWPCO's housing study in phases. The first phase is to do the base targeted study at a cost of $4,500. Afterwards, SWPCO will do both in-depth studies, the broad assessment, and the comprehensive housing plan. Each option will cost the city an additional $1,500. Harder said as a member of SWPCO, the City of Harlan will have opportunities for grant funding as well.
Yeah, as a member of SWPCO, you are you have access to all of our grant writing at no charge. So if you come to us 2 years down the road and we've completed this and you say, hey, we'd really like to apply for that community development housing grant, we absolutely are able to assist you with that. Or you have anything else that comes up that's part of being a member of SWPCO that we provide to you.
The targeted housing study will take some 2 to 3 months to complete, and the whole housing study will take about 6 to 7 months to complete. In other news, repeated calls to a residence in Harlan Tuesday resulted in false report complaints being filed by Harlan police. Officials say officers were called to a residence in the 300 block of 12th Street for a domestic disturbance. The officers determined the couple, Adam and April Gale, were simply arguing and there was no abuse or assault. However, the officers were called to the same home a total of 3 times during the same evening. And as a result, complaints charging the couple with false reports were filed with the Shelby County Clerk of Court. Police in Harlan report also 29-year-old Jennifer Boffman of Harlan was arrested Sunday after officers were called to a disturbance at her home in the 1700 block of 10th Street. Boffman was charged with possession of a controlled substance and prohibited acts penalties and brought to the Shelby County Jail. Elsewhere in the news, the Nebraska utility that owns a nuclear power plant has been idle since April of 2011 said the troubled plant is now ready to be restarted, but federal regulators will make the final decision. The Omaha Public Power District, or OPPD, submitted a 139-page report to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission this week, making the case that the Fort Calhoun nuclear power plant is ready to go. Lou Cortopassi manages the nuclear plant about 20 miles north of Omaha that sits just across the Missouri River from Iowa. He says OPPD addressed Fort Calhoun's problems and is ready to operate safely. The Fort Calhoun had initially shut down for routine maintenance, but significant flooding in 2011, a small fire, and a series of safety violations forced the plant to remain closed. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, fresh economic data are pointing in a positive direction this morning. The Commerce Department says the U.S. economy grew at a 3.6% annual rate from July through September. That was much higher than the initial 2.9% rate reported last month. However, nearly half the growth comes from a buildup in business stockpiles, a trend that could reverse in the current quarter. Meanwhile, the Labor Department says the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits tumbled 23,000 last week to 298,000. Also in the news, people in parts of the upper Midwest are being told to either bundle up with layers of clothing or just stay inside. Temperatures across Montana have been in the single digits and are expected to drop to minus 27 in some parts of the state. Today's high in North Dakota could be as low as minus 6 degrees. Mother Nature already has dumped close to 3 feet of snow in northeastern Minnesota. And Pope Francis is putting together a panel of experts to advise him about protecting children from sexually abusive priests and helping victims who have already been harmed. Cardinal Sean O'Malley, the Archbishop of Boston, announced the creation of the commission today at the conclusion of a meeting between Francis and his eight cardinal advisors who are helping him govern the church and reform the Vatican bureaucracy. Boston was the epicenter of the 2002 clerical sexual abuse scandal in the U.S. News time is 8:10.
Robinson True Value in Atlantic understands that every penny counts during the holiday season, so they have many Christmas specials that you don't want to miss. A 4-quart slow cooker at $16.97, a 2-piece saute pan combo with non-stick ceramic cooking surface for only $19.99, 4-cup Mr. Coffee coffee maker $10.99, 12-volt tire inflator with gauge $7.99, 18-inch cantilever organizer only $14.99, and too many more to mention. So stop down today and take advantage of these specials why supplies last at Robinson True Value in beautiful downtown Atlantic.
In our funeral announcements, Marjorie Hess, age 90 of Coon Rapids, died November 28th. Funeral services for Marjorie Hess will be today at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Joe Lindholm, age 92 of Ames, a former Audubon businessman, died Saturday. A celebration of life service for Joe Lindholm will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Ames. Adams Funeral Home in Ames is in charge of the arrangements. Donald Don Prawl, age 83, a lifelong Atlantic resident, died Sunday at his rural home in Atlantic. Funeral services for Don Prawl will be today at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Betty Sandhorst, age 74 of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Betty Sandhorst will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. Greg Sybil, age 26 of St. Louis, Missouri, and formerly of Vail, Iowa, died Tuesday in St. Louis. A mass of Christian burial service for Greg Sybil will be held Saturday at 10 a.m. at the St. Anne Church in Vail. Odie Twitt Funeral Home of Carroll has arrangements. Neil Douglas Doug Gray, age 67 of Kimbleton, died Sunday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Memorial services for Doug Gray will be this Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Peace Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Howard Harris, age 94 of Greenfield, died November 13th at the Greenfield Manor. Memorial services for Howard Harris will be this Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Pat Colleen Stetzel, age 65 of Guthrie Center, died December 3rd at Panora Nursing and Rehab. A memorial mass for Pat Stetzel will be held December 16th at 10 a.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Jeanette Marie Obermeyer Schrum, age 84 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Services for Jeanette Schrum are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Mike Holliday, age 55 of rural Greenfield and formerly of Stewart, died Monday. Services for Mike Holliday are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.